Very fucking unprofessional.
Unprofessional as fuck podcast.
Shit ain't slapping like my mixtape. I'm getting Saudi Arabia money, serving all base. Rob a rapper and say my name, get his chain back. My bitch cheat on me, I find out, get a chain snatch. 1,000 grams on a Cuban, bought a few blocks. Hustle of the century, ordered up a few drops. Park a Ferrari in the trenches, feel like Tupac.
Let's get it.
Bought a panic for my bitch, signed a death row.
My bitch ain't gon' cheat unless it's with a bitch we brought back home. I ain't talking clothes with crosses, we all pop out rockin'. Money shit get blown, these bitches they get flown and sent back home. Dream about this in level 2 Macomb, we fucking it up in Rome. All this shit I seen got too much trauma, I need therapy. Glock 10 in my pair of thieves, these tennis chains a carrot each. My little bitch, she barely speak, just a dick and barely breathe. Swear to God, I barely beg, but nigga, get off my dick, please.
We move like the mob, that pressure get applied all time. Nigga play, he died.
He's heating up out here, y'all.
To God, my Isha, she fine. That's why, guess what else? She
I know I'm gonna take some shit after all this. You know what I mean? It's been a minute.
On time. Street nigga from the trenches. Swear to God, I made.
They gonna say rug, man. As soon as the Kings got knocked out, you stop covering sports.
Niggas losing, we winning. Smoke, cause they in they feelings. One call, I send them. Swear to God, same night they spinning.
This is without a shadow of a doubt. The talk of the town, what your town is talking about. A professional as fuck with your host Ruck. And this is Sports Show 23 for the folks.
Hustle of the century, ordered up a few drops. Park a Ferrari in the trenches, feel like Tupac. Bought a paddock for my bitch, signed a death row.
Yeah. Let's get to it one time. Let's get straight to it one time. A bit of a hiatus, man, I can't lie. Still trying to get over this whole Sacramento Kings, season being done. It's obviously been done and over with for some time now, but it's just unfortunate. You know what I mean? The first round of the playoffs, I'll keep it 1,000 with y'all. I was watching, but I mean, not only were some of those first round matchups blowouts and just made for uninteresting games. All in all, I was just looking at that shit with a grain of salt, like, man. Pelicans did all that bullshit to us all year, then came in and just got served up by OKC. But hey, what I've learned thus far in these playoffs is that you can't sleep on any of these young teams. You thought, I guess just history would tell you that when a young roster gets into the playoffs, you got to take into account that they don't really have too much playoff experience and kind of lean towards maybe giving the nod to the older teams that have been there before. But this new breed of NBA superstars is like none other, man. I mean, I know that sounds blasphemous to say, but the lights are not too big for these fellas. We'll discuss it and get to it very soon. Before I stop mentioning teams that are no longer in contention, I do want to say that Malik Monk was absolutely robbed. The Sixth Man of the Year award goes to Naz Reid of the Minnesota Timberwolves. I'm going to clap it up for him. No, I'm not. What the fuck is going on, man? Is it the fact that the Kings did not make it into the playoffs while Malik Monk was robbed of this title? 2 years in a row, if you ask me. But, hey, it's fine. This year, there was absolutely a clear case and a clear season-long run of evidence, right, that just showed that this guy should have been the one. Is it because he's not going to be in the playoffs at the time that you're making these announcements? You're not going to be able to, pan the camera over to his squad? Maybe. I'm not going to go too deep in it. I just want to say that I think that was a blatant robbery. Also, Kobe White of the Chicago Bulls should have been the most improved player. I do not know what the fuck
what
that
the
means. And trust me, I know I'm really late to the party as far as, speaking about these things, but I told you it's been a minute since I did a sports show. No disrespect to Tyrese Maxey, but that guy was a great player last year. If you talk about the jump in statistic categories that Kobe White made, versus an obvious improvement from Maxey, but Maxey, who didn't expect him to turn it up another level? The huge jump that we saw in numbers from Kobe White from last year to this year, I thought was enough for him to get that title of the most improved player. But it is what it is. As far as defensive player of the year, that nod went to Rudy Gobert. I mean, I'm not well-versed enough to know if, that was deserving so or not. I don't really watch too much Timberwolves ball except for now. But Victor Wembanyama, the winner of the Rookie of the Year title, also went out of his way to let Rudy know, you know, get it while you can, because that's it. They knew they were giving me Rookie of the Year. They didn't want to give me the Defensive Player of the Year as well, but Victor seems to think that he's going to be the one taking that title for some time to come. So we shall see. I like the competition. I like the young kid, especially a young kid from San Antonio, a place where more often than not, Popovich was the voice. Him voicing his opinion and saying, you know, sticking his chest out there, claiming his title in the future. That's fine. Now, MVP. Nikola Jokic, a.k.a. the Joker, wins again. MVP of the league. A lot of things have been said about this. I know this guy doesn't play the most exciting ball. Every once in a while, you'll see, you know, some agility from him inside the paint, something that you wouldn't expect somebody that big to be able to do. I've seen plays this playoffs, man, where it's like, you know, if people are watching the playoffs with a close eye, you remember this play. It's from this year. The ball is thrown over his shoulder. He has no idea the ball is coming, but as soon as he sees it, as soon as it comes to his vision, doesn't even grab it and then, you know, make a pass. Simply a little nudge. Taps the ball underneath, gets it right into the hands, I believe, of Aaron Gordon, who was there to take that opportunity and lead to a dunk. Just a fast break play that you wouldn't see too many guards making, and this is being made from a center. I understand that not everybody's going to want to see this guy, you know, continuously get these titles, but it doesn't, I don't know. I mean, it doesn't really move the needle for me. I mean, fine, of course, this guy is a great player, but is he the greatest in the game right now? Is that what we're saying? Is that what we're conceding? Are we going to automatically just overlook what SGA did, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, for those of y'all who are avid watchers of basketball, or more specifically the Oklahoma City Thunder, a young team that was battling in the top three positions all year long for the Western Conference? Not to say that Denver didn't as well, but I don't know, man. I think it's, at some point you got to give the nod to a youngster who is doing something that, you know, he might not ever, you know, eclipse in the near future. Whereas Jokic, not only has he got the titles, he's got the MVP. I don't know. I mean, I don't want to seem like I'm hating on the guy. I'm really not. But there's players out here who've dedicated their life to it and are wholeheartedly, you know, in love with the game of basketball, whereas you see a Joker and he's like, man, I don't want to do no parade. Nah, I'm going home. You know what I mean? It just seems like something he's doing as a means to an end. And if that's the case and you're not 100% bought in and playing the way that he is, that's another nod to just his ability. But, hey, we'll move on. From now on, no more mention the team's not in contention. When I say that, I'm talking about the Warriors, the Kings, and the rest of them things. Let's keep it moving. Obviously, right now, basketball kind of has a chokehold on the major sports, being that it's in deep into the playoffs. Obviously, the same is rings true for the hockey, you know, for the hockey league, NHL, but I'm not really a huge hockey fan. I will quickly say that I did see that the San Jose Sharks did acquire the first overall pick in next year's NHL draft. Not going to pretend that I know anything about what that means, or, you know, I know Sharks fans hate it when I say it, but y'all always buy in 1,000% on the squad, and they break your hearts every time. As a Kings fan and a Raider fan, I know that's blasphemous, but hey, hockey, it is what it is. Basketball, though. NBA for now. I have a question, man. It's kind of, you know, asking the room, and being that y'all are going to be listening to this, make sure that you respond in the comments or something. You know what I mean? Reach out if you're Patreon subscribers, hop in the community chat, and let me know where your mind's at with this question. But Jalen Brunson or Anthony Edwards, who is the most exciting player to watch right now in these playoffs? I'm completely absolving all the other players, because this is just basically, I want to put these two in a head-to-head matchup. You think about Jalen Brunson, what he's able to do, I think is amplified even more so based on the fact that he's doing it in New York as a Knick, and has Madison Square Garden going crazy as it is. You see these players, you know, these teams, excuse me, the fans of this team traveling with them, making the Philadelphia games home games. Just, you know, anybody who's ever watched the Knicks' reactions to a victory following wins, whether it was, you know, the Atlanta Hawks series of the past where they're going crazy on Trae Young, to now, you know, just these guys go absolutely insane. So, I mean, for you to be able to do that and revive the feeling, bring back the feeling for Madison Square Garden, New York, as a whole, you know, Knicks fans who have suffered for so long. Obviously, got to, you know, give that guy a complete heads up. That's something that I love to watch. Not to be overlooked, though, is Anthony Edwards, man. You know, y'all know how I feel about him as far as his parenting skills go. You know what I mean? Or at least that young lady who he made sure was going to take that pill and, you know, paid off to make sure that wasn't something that he was going to have to deal with going forward. It's easy for me to be over here and you know, criticize his move and whatnot, but I'm not in his position. I'm not a, you know, millionaire looking to make millions upon millions upon millions in this league based off of his play and just what potentially being the new face of the league. But can't take anything away from this guy on the basketball court. I know it's blasphemous to say, but I'm not the first or the last one to say it. You're watching this guy play and just the smoothness and some of the gestures and mannerisms, the movements, it's making people think about the GOAT, MJ. What the feezy? Now, obviously, him being in Minnesota is not going to be, you know, amplified to the level of Jalen Brunson doing what he's doing in Madison Square Garden. But when you talk about a young guy who came over to a team that Cat, you know, Karl Anthony Towns, everybody calls him Cat. So you got Cat, Ant, and Rudy Gobert all in the same squad, right? Michael Connolly, man, no G, somebody who's just been great everywhere he goes now, you know, being able to go over there and have a real good shot at making a deep playoff run. I do love watching this guy play basketball, man. It's effortless. I like the way that this guy is talking shit to the OGs of the league, even to Kevin Durant, who's been well-documented his favorite player of all time. Think about a kid at his age watching KD play and doing what he did, accomplish what he has with the Warriors, you know, put an asterisk there if you want. But it was very key to a lot of those championship victories. I don't know. I look at this guy and I see face of the league 100%, and I think that's because of Ja Morant and what he was doing to himself off of the court. Clearly, I think Ja had you know, things in a frenzy. He was jumping out of the gym, making highly, you know, athletic plays. It just shocks you, right? But now you're looking at somebody who's not coming from the point guard position, somebody a little bit bigger, someone with more size when he goes up and dunks. Not to say that Ja didn't have veracity, but we've seen maybe one of the greatest dunks that we've ever seen in the entire, you know, existence of the league this season with Anthony Edwards posterizing whoever that young man was, bless his heart, rest in peace, you know what I mean? But now, what could be said? I mean, is this, ironically, the plan B for the NBA, right? You know, play on what this guy had going on in his life, right? Ironic, you know what I mean? From having to let him take the pill to making sure that everybody in the league knows now that he may not have been plan A, but a great plan B to say the absolute least. Anthony Edwards poised to be the face of the league. Now I want to ask even deeper question, right? Because, I mean, that's something that you could really battle either way on. Jalen Brunson for Madison Square Garden or Anthony Edwards for the NBA. But now I want to ask, you know, doubling down on this NBA thing, is Anthony Edwards the best thing to happen to the NBA since LeBron James? Hear me out, y'all. I mean, I know that sounds crazy. But when you think about, obviously, a LeBron James who's coming towards the end of his career, not to say that he doesn't have another one, two, possibly three left in him. Pause. But you're looking at another person, right, who's clearly going to be able to take over endorsements, who's going to be somebody that's going to be beloved by media just based off the personality that he has alone, much less his ability to do what he does on the court. Now, couple that along with just the comparisons that are being made. Everybody's speaking to the MJ theories, you know what I mean? Is this the reincarnation, the second coming of Jordan? Like, is this the best possible thing that could have happened for the league following John Morant kind of taking himself out of contention with his off-the-court antics? I'm kind of leaning towards saying possibly. I mean, maybe even going a little further to say yes, based off the fact that this guy is just doing incredible shit against highly coveted superstars. You talk about him going head-to-head up against Kevin Durant, giving him lip service and being able to, you know, back it up. Swept the Phoenix Suns with the Bradley Beal, Kevin Durant, and Devin Booker. Led to the firing of Frank Vogel. I do want to give a congratulations to Mike Budenholzer, who is now going to become the new head coach of Phoenix. I was not a fan on the way that Budenholzer was let go from Milwaukee, doing the job that he had done there. But I know Giannis and him had butted heads. And if you're going to pick between Budenholzer and Giannis, I get it. You made your choice. Glad to see he's going to have an opportunity to go and do some big things. I don't know if he's going to have that roster as it's concocted today to be able to make that move. But regardless, so as far as I'll go now, I told you no more mention. The team's not a contention. So let's keep it pushing. Anthony Edwards sweeps them. Then comes into the first two games of this series and beats Denver in Denver. Now going home to play tonight in front of a home crowd was going to be buzzing and going crazier than ever to watch this young man take over a team that he came in as a young rookie behind a Karl Anthony Towns, who had been a high draft pick, high first round draft pick. Clearly took that team over in a polite way, right? He's not just disparaging anybody else that's on the squad, making them believe in him, making their jobs easier. Think about Rudy Gobert, who stayed home one of these opening games of this Nuggets series to see the birth of his child. Congratulations, Rudy Gobert. And even despite all that, not having that big man who was able to come in and do what he can defensively or you know, attack the rebounds, still get a decisive win over the Nuggets. I'm fucking blown away by what these youngsters are doing in this league right now. So, I asked all that question. Is this the best thing that could happen to the league following LeBron James? Definitely make sure that y'all reach out and give me y'all answers on that. Plan B, man. I know this ain't what they thought was going to be the case, but hey, if this is what you fall into, then hey, could be worse. Briefly spoke about how not everybody was a fan of Jokic getting his MVP, right? Now, if you're talking about people who were vocal about that, we got beef that's all over the place. I swore that I wasn't going to get into the rap diss tracks. I was going to leave it alone, especially on a sports show. But it's a sports-related diss. I didn't even go through and do all this, man, but Shaq's got the big podcast, right, that goes up against Shannon Sharp and what he's been able to do. I want to play this diss track. I have not heard it, man. This is going to be the first time that I hear it live with y'all. So this is called The Big Podcast with Shaq.
Unprofessional as fuck podcast.
When it comes to Shaq, Shaq hates every big man. If you haven't noticed,
he does.
He doesn't like the big man, rightfully so, because that's his position. He is, in his mind, he is the apex predator. No matter what no one says, we don't care. He don't care what you say. He don't care. You can throw all the championships and all that. If we lace him up and we had to, in our prime, had to play against each other in our prime, he thinks he's the apex predator. Those awards hurt him. They irritate the hell out of him.
Yes! It's the MVPs, Gil. It's the MVPs, because they only have one.
They didn't think that I would win, but I won.
Well, you think you can say something about the Kings, but you ain't gonna say something back?
I got in.
You gotta have G14 classification.
I'm the best in the world.
I'm number one.
I'm the best in the world.
I'm number one.
I'm the best in the world, number.
Oh no, Shannon Sharp, man, you're way beneath me. Your whole demeanor is faker than new rapper Beefy. You're soft, before you get fly, you rather tweet me. I was in three different cars when you was in 3 feet. All I see is dollar signs, they come in 3D. Make it hot, ain't no way around my degree. You are not in my spot, you are like a peewee. Shula got him calling me Rocky the way I re-read. I get to the green bag, I don't mean a lawnmower. Jet flying, foreign driving, Best Buy and Don Pour. I'm the one and only I want, it won't be no encore. It ain't about the money, then what I gotta respond for? I told him I was the best and then I proved it. I went to Solomon, made my neck look like a Rubik's. Shaq, I always be shining, so call me Kubrick. I just play the money and come together like music. Bums be talking that shit, they got my fuse lit. Should I go plane, should I go yacht, should I go drop shoes it? I'm the one they don't want nothing to do with. I made a bill on what they don't know what to do with. I see you need your bullshit podcast, I use it. Treat it like it ain't got no rights and I abuse it. If the check was a bomb, it ain't no diffusion. If my money the problem, ain't no solution. Keep it somewhere in the air like it was pollution. Tryna play with your killers, an execution. I get paid, all I feel is electrocution. three or four and they only thought I was deucing. I ran away with the titles like I was boosting.
They didn't think that I would win, but I
Google me.
Won. They didn't think that I would win, but
like
I
little girls.
Won. I got in there and got
that's
the
what
job.
They call me. Teddy White.
I'm the best in the world, number
say something
one.
Else.
I'm the best in the world,
I'm number one.
I'm the best in the world,
I'm number one.
Oh, man. Shaq don't fuck around, man. This motherfucker, man. Yo, everything that's happened thus far this year, I blame Cat Williams. I'm not going to bullshit with you, man. It's over with. You know what I mean? Cat set the tone, and so ironically, he did that on Shannon Sharpe's podcast, right? I guess this was the, this was what balances out the scales. You know what I mean? What evens out the odds. You get that huge blockbuster interview that broke the internet. That's a crazy-ass phrase I never really thought I would use like that. But, hey, you know, it did incredible numbers for Shannon Sharpe and his podcast. Set them off on like, exactly what Kat said, a stratosphere that they had never seen before. But it also set the tone, for 2024. You know what I mean? 2020 for all the bullshit. Like, nobody is holding anything back. There's been diss tracks between women and MCs. We already know what's going on between the men in the game. More hats have been entered to that race. I'm not even going to talk about it here. But Shaq, man, Shannon Sharpe, he speaks a lot. You know, he's got the job as a co-host there on First Take, and he does the Nightcap show, his podcast. He does, the podcast itself, and then he does the Nightcap show with Ocho Cinco. And, I mean, this guy's doing a whole lot of talking, and I can tell you firsthand, when you sit in front of a microphone, especially if you go and get sauced up the way that Shannon has been known to do, you're going to say some things that come off cringeworthy after the fact, whether, you know, it was 100% wholeheartedly felt or not. And I don't even know what Shaq said about Jokic. I think what I've seen in a quick, you know, skimming through things was that Jokic was getting his award and they brought him in onto the show as like a little interview portion to announce his victory. And Shaq told him he didn't deserve it. That's crazy, right? Hey. But it is what it is. I mean, if the big man is going to tell you that, somebody who was as dominant as he was in the league when he was doing this thing, then it's got to have, you know, if you don't think it has any validity, at least you know that he's qualified to make certain statements. Now, Shannon Sharpe, you know, said he don't like the big man. You know, it is what it is, bro. You know, you ain't going to let nobody in your sport tell you that you did less than them. I mean, you're a man with an ego and pride as well. But for these diss tracks, I mean, I'll be honest. I've heard Shaq rap quite a bit, more than I would have cared to. And this might have been the worst, you know, in some time that I've heard. I know the Shaq and Kobe remix, he was on that thing with Damian Lillard. I thought he did great there. This one, the delivery was a little bit off. I don't know. And some of the little homies, whoever did the chorus, should have been like, yo, Diesel. Damn, pause. They should have been like, yo, Shaq. Maybe not this one, you know what I mean? Let's go back to the drawing board. But you know, Shaq, you don't give a fuck. You're going to drop this shit in between commercial break on NBA on TNT. So, with that being said, I mean, hey, ball's in your court now, Shannon. What you going to do? You got some bars? I don't know. I see Shannon Sharp coming out, you know, sitting one of the mold microphones, the ones that come down from the ceiling. I can see him sitting there with a black and mild wood tip and some of that brandy or yak, whatever the fuck he got, and crooning some shit out. But, hey. Saw that work for Drake. I'm sure there's a lot more to cover in the NBA, but I'm going to skim through a lot of these stories that I had saved. I do want to take a time to highlight what's going on in the world of the WNBA. I do really want to shed a light on that. The world has changed since these past two seasons of women's college basketball, leading into one of the most highly coveted draft classes for the WNBA. A lot of people are going to put this on the shoulders of Caitlin Clark. I'm not going to say she did it on her own. In order for her to be the star that she was in college ball, she also needed some counterparts and people on the other side of the court to also, to validate her greatness. You think of LSU and Iowa in last year's championship game, and LSU gets the win, Angel Reese and Flage and that entire team, right? Just everybody, it seemed like a great team effort. Then you look at the following season, she had adversity, right? Caitlin loses that earlier championship game, comes back, finds a way to get herself back into the championship game, and she did not win again. She loses this time to South Carolina with, one of Cardozo, I think, Cardoza, the 6'5", 6'7", 6'8", some center, you know what I mean, who's now teamed up with Andrew Reese on the Chicago Fever. Twin Towers over there, right? Despite the fact that she wasn't able to get a championship in college, she also brought over all that cachet and all of those eyes to a WNBA that was obviously starving for attention. There's been some great players who have played there. Shout out to Candace Parker. I'm going to give her a shout out real quick. Named president at Adidas Basketball. That's huge. I want to give a shout out to, I'm going to go through my saved message. I think it's Asia Wilson. God, I don't want to be covering the shit and then not be 1,000% right on it, because that's just disrespectful and completely negating the point of doing it all, right? Yes, it was. Asia Wilson, multi-year deal with Gatorade. A lot of people have said that Asia was also deserving of her own signature shoe. That first goes over to Caitlin Clark, and it is what it is. I've heard a lot of think pieces on this, and I came in with, just my own biasness and just feeling like it's kind of bullshit that this girl comes over and now all of a sudden all these things are happening. But when you peel yourself back and take a step back and realize that this is something that had to happen regardless, and if she's got to be the catalyst for the change, then more power to her, because everybody now who continues to, play in the college game and finds their way into the WNBA is going to be able to benefit from the changes that have come along due to the eyes and the ears and the focus that has come around, regardless of whether you're watching an Angel Reese or a Flage, a Cardozo, I think there's a young lady by the name of Brinkley. I mean, I'm getting familiar with all these names and trying to be knowledgeable and trying to put my money where my mouth is as well. People are going to be like, rock with the Feezy, but I definitely am going to be copping that league pass to the WNBA just to get the ball rolling and continue to show them that attention needs to get paid, that more importantly, the ladies need to get paid. I watched a recent interview. I know everybody's polarizing. You feel one way or the other about Brittany Griner, but when she did her interview with Gail and on the ABC News, I believe, special, they started discussing the wages and what she was making in Russia versus what she was making in the United States. And I want these ladies to be able to use their God-given talent, get into a league where they're able to be compensated in a way where they don't have to worry about going anywhere else. With that being said, congratulations not only to Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese and all the other young ladies who have made that draft class what it is, and I hope, everybody remains healthy and sees all the success in the world. I think it's important. It's also important for the male stars of these certain teams where you have a women's team in your city to go out and show face and show support and make sure that you help bridge those gaps. If we're going to capitalize off of Sabrina Iosco, I believe is her name. Please forgive me. I don't mean to butcher. The young lady who went in the three-point competition this year in the NBA All-Star, Saturday night. If we're going to capitalize off of these ladies, let's make sure that we also pay the attention, the mind, and the money in their direction as well. A lot of things have become, have changed, whether it's venues having to be changed in some of these games to get larger attendance in, whether it's more TV coverage, more national televised games, whether it's the charter flights now. It's been announced WNBA is to add private charter flights for all teams. Commissioner Kathy Engelbrecht has announced that. All regular season games starting as early as this season. Another great win. I swear I'm not trying to sound, straight on some feminist shit, but I'm just being, fair across the board. Why were these ladies being, the names and the faces of this league and I know that although it may not be hand over fist money like you would see as an NBA, men's team owner, I know that there's a lot of money being generated from their appearance, from their talent, from their efforts on the court and off. We got to make sure that they feel like the stars that they are. So private charter flights for all teams, I'm a big fan of that. Can't wait to see what happens, man, how we continue to make this grow. As I think of this, I think about how, you know, Kobe Bryant and Gigi must be smiling from ear to ear in heaven. Shout outs to them both. You know what Kobe would have done, what he would have, you know, made happen for this league, and what young Mambacita would have been able to accomplish. All that being said, man, I'm just so glad that even though we were, you know, unfortunately, you know, had to deal with their loss, and the fact that a young lady by Gigi, you know, by the name of Gigi Bryant is no longer here to be able to do what she would have done, and Kobe, you know, what he would have done for this league, that it's still finding the way to get done, and I'm sure they got the best seat in the house to every game. So shout-outs to the WNBA, shout-outs to, you know, everybody who's doing their part. Like I said, I'm not just going to speak on it and not, you know, put my money where my mouth is. For those of y'all who are interested, I know that there's not as many teams in the WNBA, probably not as many games, but $39.99 for a full season of the NBA League Pass. If you got a young daughter in sports who may want to see, you know, a young role model, you know, role models that they could look up to, definitely think about making that move. Speaking of college, man, Snoop Dogg's getting his own ball game, man. This is crazy. Snoop Dogg Arizona Bowl, right? I was thinking, you know, it's going to be the weed bowl. I don't know. A bowl of weed. I thought he was going to get a bowl of cereal after smoking a blunt. I didn't know what they were talking about when they said this, but the Arizona Bowl now, you know, got Snoop's name on it. Snoop Dogg Arizona Bowl presented by Gin and Juice. You can't make this shit up. Set to play on December 28th in the Arizona Stadium. You know what I mean? Right after you unwrap the presents under the Christmas tree. You'll be able to watch another man who partakes in the tree rapping and unwrapping and rapping. And this is what Snoop had to say.
Fans are exhausted by the constant talk around NIL, conference realignment, coach movement, transfer portal, and super conferences. So it's time that we get back to the roots of college football, when it was focused on the colleges, the players, the competition, the community, the fan experience, and the pageantry. Being a fan, coach, supporter of all levels of the game, I sent many players through my SYFL to colleges and the NFL. So it's only fitting that I step up and help get this thing right. I'm ready to bring the juice back to college football. And I'm taking my talents. That's right. To Arizona. Believe me, Arizona, baby. I'm here to announce the new collaboration, the Snoop Dogg Arizona Bowl, presented by Gin and Juice by Dre and Snoop. The game will be college football.
Couldn't have said it better myself, man. My guy took the beanie off and put the Gin and Juice Arizona hat on, the bucket hat at that. Looked like he needed a bucket of water. My guy definitely had partook, however you want to say it. I don't know. My guy just got done burning a bowl or two, you know, a blend of four, and announced this. I think it's great. I think it's amazing. I think, you know, you're going to need to do things in order to make the college experience or the college games, you know, as coveted. And I know that in men's football, that's probably not the case. I mean, we talk about the men's national championship game all the time. I don't watch a lick of fucking college football, which I should, especially as a fucking fantasy football player and whatnot, but I really don't watch any of them shits until it gets to the bowl game, right? Like the national championship game, actually. I don't even really be watching any of them other joints, but hold on, Snoop, man. Chill out. But I know that I might be, you know, a minority in that fact, right? It might be uncommon. But when you talk about adding the hip-hop elements to anything, you know, it's going to make me go pay a little bit more attention. So on top of that, and just the NIL now being able to be a thing where these kids are now benefiting from their likeness, from their talents, from their effort, I think it might lead me back in that direction to be like, all right, as long as I know it's not just these colleges and these universities getting, you know, paid off of these players who dedicate their life to the game. Some of them get hurt out there while playing and their dreams are done. It's time to go over and pay a little bit more attention. And if Snoop can't get it done, then who can, man? Shout out to Snoop, Dre and Jenny Juice, and the Arizona Snoop Bowl, man. Whatever it is. Now, back to basketball. I know we said no mention of teams not in contention, but the Lakers have fired their entire coaching staff along with Darvin Ham. I can't imagine how hard it would be to try to be a head coach of a personality and ego and just the player and person that LeBron James is, and deservingly so for what he's done for the league. But I think that often, too many times, especially like we just got done talking about Budenholzer, right, where a team is forced to make a decision based on whether it's the star player that they want to keep around or a head coach who they feel like there's, you know, a dime a dozen, we can go find another. More often than not, a lot of these coaches are made scapegoats for what has happened. I know Darvin Ham may not be the case there. A lot of people spoke to his incompetence as far as being able to draw up plays or certain things that he did or didn't do in these playoff series that made the Lakers look horrible. But, hey, with that being said, not only is Ham gone, not only is his entire coaching staff gone, they cleaned house, and now it's rumored that it might be Ty Lue, might be J.J. Redick. I thought J.J. Redick was getting a Charlotte job. Apparently that's not the case. Now with the job with more cachet attached to it, he's held out. I believe an assistant coach on the Boston Celtics team is now going to be announced in the near future, if not already, as the new head coach for the Charlotte Hornets as soon as the Celtics run has come to an end, which it doesn't look like it's going to happen anytime soon, right? We'll get to more of the basketball shit in a second. Yeah, you clean house, and you're not even 100% sure that LeBron is going to stick around. This is going to be based on who you bring in, not only coach-wise, but player-wise, who is going to remain on that roster, who is going to get looked past and looked over. D'Angelo Russell, I know, is on the hot seat. AD, man, he played a lot of games this season. He was as available as he's been ever. But when it came down to those clutch minutes late in the games and the most important times, not only was he ailing from injuries, but maybe not there at all. So it's unfortunate, man. Some of these players get into these situations, but it is what it is. Lakers in the hunt for a new coach, and we shall see how that all pans out. Damn, more mention of teams not in contention. Forget it. I already told y'all where Clay's going. There's mutual interest, you know what I mean? He's going to magically disappear from the Dubs and end up over there in Orlando. That's all I'll say. Moving forward, Patrick Beverley, man, this guy is a fucking nut. He's been banned from future guest appearances on ESPN shows. I don't think what he did was completely out of pocket. I think it was, I guess I'm biased as a fellow podcaster, but check this shit out.
I'm sorry. You subscribe to my pod?
Do I subscribe to you? I do not.
You can't interview me then. Okay, no disrespect. Well,
Jamal is here.
You subscribe? Okay, cool.
Again, there were a couple times within a bucket or two. In previous games, y'all have been able to kind of get over that hump or maybe.
Oh, now I get it.
Was it anything they did in particular, or was it just one of those where the bucket didn't go down? There wasn't the stop. They made one. What kind of prevent?
Yo, we don't got to hear no more. So for those of y'all know, this is audio and whatnot, but Patrick Beverley leans over. I don't know what his beef is, but it's a woman reporter, man. She's sitting there, and I don't even think she had asked a question yet, and he's just like, yo, do you subscribe to my pod? Just make sure to isolate her, right? Focus in on her, and she answers, do I? No, you know what I mean? And you can't interview me. Are you serious, bro? I mean, I get it. You know what I mean? What the feezy? That being said, if y'all don't subscribe to me, no, I'm just fucking with you. Pat Bev, bro, you've had so many of these antics and so much of this shit go on with your team. You know, he's now a member of this Milwaukee Bucks squad who's obviously already had the injury issues that they've had with Giannis, with Damian Lillard, now Thanasis out for the season. I mean, not that anybody was worried about that. But Pat Bev, man, it's disrespectful. Not only does he make her feel uncomfortable, but then after that, well, she's like, you know, Jamal's here. Somebody else is asking questions. She just got the mic out there to be able to garner the responses of somebody else's questions. He then turns and pushes her microphone out of his way. She's obviously holding the mic. That's just a little bit too much for me as well. ESPN has banned him from future appearances on their shows. I feel bad for the young lady. I feel bad for just people in positions like that, you know what I mean? If it ain't a rap battle, you know what I mean? I'm going to feel bad when people get dogged like that. So with that being said, Pat, you was a little bit out of pocket, bro. I don't know what you expected to come from there, but hey, it is what it is. Let's get back to this NBA action. Haven't been able to really hone in on as many of these games as I would like to. You know, I definitely want to keep an eye on this Mavericks Thunder series. I'm a huge fan of everything that I'm seeing between the dynamic duo of Luka and Kyrie. I think these two are a duo made in heaven as far as, you know, at least just entertainment on the court. Two players with talent that is just out of this world. Maybe the best ball handler we've ever seen in Kyrie Irving. And just a guy whose name is very fitting, man. Luka Magic. He's able to make magic on that court and do some things that we haven't seen done and make it look effortless, man. So, I mean, huge fan of them. I expected them to come in and kind of be dominant. But like I said, this young group of players that are now in this league are a lot different. The lights do not get too bright. Let's talk about it. Now, if I'm going to start off by giving you know, my ideal dream matchups for these conference finals. We're now in the conference semifinals. So we have eight teams that remain. Once these two series are done, once these four series are done, we will now have the Western Conference and Eastern Conference games, you know, the matchup, and we'll figure out of those final four teams who's going to compete for the NBA championship. Now, if I get my way, I would love to see the Mavericks and Timberwolves for obvious reasons. I've been speaking up Anthony Edwards and his play. Karl Anthony Towns has made huge plays in very opportune times. Not the biggest fan of Gobert. Don't dislike him as much as Draymond does. But I really would like to see Ant get deep, you know, pause. I would like to see this guy get another opportunity at another series, whether, you know, they sweep here in Denver, which would be absolutely insane to me, but they find a way to get out of the series as the victors and you know, go over to compete with the Mavericks. I would love to see that matchup. Just as a selfish fan. Eastern Conference Finals, I don't think, regardless of who you want to see, I don't think anybody has the Celtics losing to the Cavs. I didn't expect them to lose a game in this series. Kudos to the Cavaliers for stealing one in Boston. Donovan Mitchell obviously is playing with a chip on his shoulder. Not too familiar with this supporting cast. I know Garland's of the world are great, pieces to add along next to a Donovan Mitchell. I do not have them winning another game in this series. I think this is going to be a gentleman's sweep. However, you know, what do I know? Playoff series as of today, each conference has one series that is a 2-0 lead for one squad, while, you know, the other one in that conference is a series tied at 1-1. The New York Knicks are up 2-0 against the Pacers. They have another opportunity at it today. I know that Josh Hart has been playing every minute of each of the two games. That's, you know, something to be said right there, just that guy. But what he's done for this team, man, as a supporting role, a supporting piece, along with DeVincenzo and Jalen Brunson, the Villanova, you know, connection. Jalen Brunson is questionable for today. I do not see a guy like that sitting out. You don't want to give any glimmer of hope to a Pacers team that is, you know, taking the league by storm this year. Feel like everybody has a little bit of a rooting edge for the Knicks. The league is just better when the Knicks are successful. And the Jalen Brunson story is amazing. So, obviously, we'll see what happens. But today, they take that 2-0 lead into Indiana. Game tipping off at 4 p.m. We shall see how that pans out. Also, in the Eastern Conference, the Celtics are tied 1-1, like I said, against the Cavs. They're in competition Saturday at 5:30 p.m., primetime game. Saturday on ABC. Tune in and see how that works out. In the Western Conference side of things, the Timberwolves are the team that are up 2-0, like I said, against the defending champion Denver Nuggets. Tonight at 6:30 p.m., the Nuggets will have an opportunity to right the ship, get a win. They're going to have to do so in Minnesota in front of a raucous crowd, I'm sure. We shall see what happens there. If Ant's able to get a third win in a row over these guys, his seventh in a row in these playoffs, it's going to be really difficult to see the Nuggets coming back. I think it's a must-win game for the defending champions tonight on the road. Now, if we talk about the 1-1 series tie, that's the Thunder and the Mavs. The Mavs were kind of blown out of the first game, which was shocking to me. Found a way to get things together for that second game in OKC. Stole one in Oklahoma. Now they take a 1-1 series tie over to Dallas. You know how that crowd gets. Going to see Mark Cuban on the court, you know, doing his part. I feel like the role players for the Mavericks play better at home. Expect a huge game again from Hardaway Jr. You know, I've been a witness of even the Dante Exum making fucking dagger plays against the Kings. Damn, I said I was going to mention this. It is what it is, you know what I mean? They got people over there that can make plays. Shout out my brother Rolly, man. What's happening, bro? Got to get you on the show, fam. But, you know, I fully expect the Mavericks to get this first game in Dallas. I do, you know, have to give credit to the OKC Thunder. Do I think that they will have to steal a game here? Obviously. But if they don't, and this ends up being 2-1, or excuse me, 3-1, going back to Oklahoma, it's going to be rough, right? So, like I said, I got Dallas winning tonight. Can't give you too many predictions on what's going to happen going forward. That game tips off at 6:30. Good night of basketball for us today, right? I mean, excuse me, I'm all the way off with that. The 6:30 game tonight is the T-Wolves and the defending champion Denver Nuggets, as I said right before getting into this whole spiel. The Thunder and Mavs are going to tip off 12:30 p.m. Saturday afternoon Pacific time. Check your local listings, figure out how that's going to go down wherever you're at. I know my brother Rolly is going to be tuned in. Need Rolly and Q to tap in with me, man. Let's hop on the Discord, get a sports show in. Anytime y'all ready, I'll make the time on my end, figure it out, man. And holla at me. Now, man. There's been some shit announced that I'm not a huge Raider fan, right? Everybody knows. But they're announcing the Raiders fan cruise, March 23rd through the 30th of 2025. Set a record for the most Modelos ever drank on a cruise is what's being covered. The Raiders are partnering with Seaside Events to bring the first ever, fan cruise experience to the high seas. Like I said, March 23rd through the 30th, 2025, Raiders fans and alumni will sail from Los Angeles to Cabo San Lucas. Hey. Ensenada, Mazatlan, and Puerto Vallarta. It's going to be dope to see that shit go down, man, but I won't be on that motherfucking boat. Love Raiders. Love the majority of our fans. Some of us are worse than others. I definitely have some growing to do. But to think about being stuck on a fucking ship in the middle of the water with Raider fans off of every Modelo in the building, smelling like pure fucking alcohol, non-showering, sick punk motherfuckers, I'm cool, man. I am cool. If I want to see the alumni, I will wait until they're, you know, making an appearance at a Raider image near me, you know, something like that. To be on a ship with y'all motherfuckers for 7 days, a full week? Hell no. Can't do it. Oh, and if this didn't seal the deal, pricing starts at $2,200 per person. So $2,200 for 7 days, right? You break that down, a little more than $300 a day. I don't want to be anywhere where motherfuckers are able to spend a week on vacation for $300 a day. Especially if I can't get the fuck off the boat and escape. So, nah, I'm cool. This is like going to the fucking club that got $100 bottles and a VIP section for $250. Like, not trying to be around that crowd. Motherfuckers gambling their re-up money and going out and having a good time. I am cool. Y'all enjoy. Let me know how it goes. I'm pretty sure I could foresee how it happens. I'm not going to go as far as to say a Titanic-like experience, but this is going to be a fucking Royal Rumble at one point. Please do not be a trolling fan from an opposing team and try to sneak onto that thing. That would be a very bad business move. If you are part of the crew and a fucking Niner, Bronco, Chargers, Chiefs, I don't give a fuck if you're a fan of an XFL team. Do not wear anything other than a Raiders fucking merchandise on that ship. That's all I'm gonna say. Y'all have fun. Let me know how it goes, but I will not be on that bitch. Going down the list. I mean, Tom Brady roast. Let's talk about him. I was late to the party. I didn't realize, right? I want to talk about Netflix real quick and these live things that they've got going on. I want to talk about the Cat Williams. I believe it was called Woke Folk, a live stand-up comedy. You know, what do they call them? Specials, right? On Netflix. Now, I didn't tune in at the time that it was on. I was definitely watching boxing. Yeah. I love Cat. Love Cat Williams. He's responsible for all the shit that we've seen go on in this crazy-ass 2024 thus far. Set the tone and I guess did some type of fucking voodoo work on us all. Because while he's reading fucking 3,300 books in one day, the world has gone completely fucking crazy. Cat Williams and the Woke Folk, he took the steam that he had coming off of that Shannon Sharp interview, parlayed it into a lot of more opportunities. Always here for a Cat Williams stand-up, but this one to me just wasn't it. Maybe it's the fact that it's live. Maybe we are, you know, spoiled in the fact that we are able to see edited versions and, you know, they piece together the best parts, the best reactions, the best delivery of jokes from a number of different shows. This one to me, it was just like watching Drake talk at the end of the Hard Part 6. I wasn't going to continue to mention this shit, my bad. It was like watching Devin Haney get his ass whooped by Ryan Garcia after we just got done putting meth in the backwood. Oh, man. What the feezy? Yeah, so I don't know what to take from that. Side note, Ryan Garcia was flagged for something that was in his system for that fight. Later up came back that he was absolutely not on something. I don't know what to believe. If you see this guy talk or just the way that he buttons up his silk shirts and wears white sweat socks with black slacks and dress shoes, he's on something. That's all I'm going to say. What the feezy? Anyway, back to it. Not a fan of the live Cat Williams. Y'all can go check it out. It's an hour. I was watching it in earbuds on late night. I was wide awake and just couldn't get through it. 30, 40 minutes in, and I was being generous. Had to cut it off. Now, the Tom Brady roast. Obviously, I'm a huge fan of roast. We haven't seen one in quite some time. This one had its moments, but I would say that there were certain things on the in-between that was just like, all right, man, let's shut this down. Bill Belichick, you know what I mean? I understand that everybody wants to see what's to be said, right? But if I was in your immediate family, I wouldn't want to hear you deliver the fucking the grace prior to our Thanksgiving dinner. You know what I mean? Like, I really don't care. Not the guy, right? Stick to yelling on the sideline. Oh, shit, no job. All right, you know, do what you do, right? Please don't go into the broadcasting game. Nobody wants to hear from you. I'm sorry. I could have been, you know, off of 13 fucking different 12-ounce cans of Red Bull and developed narcolepsy looking at your stupid ass up there on that podium. It is what it is. Robert Kraft, much love to you. Apparently, we couldn't talk about how you love a rub and tug like Deshaun Watson. Tom Brady got up and quickly told Jeff Ross no more of that shit. You know, we got all crazy. Jeff Ross then proceeded, I'm sorry, Tom. Now, fuck that, bro. You're the roast master. This is what you do. This motherfucker want to sit up here. You know Aaron Rodgers' ass is going to get, excuse me, not Aaron Rodgers, Aaron Hernandez somewhere, you know what I mean, hearing all these jokes about him. Y'all went in on Giselle, his ex-wife, for about fucking 40 minutes of everybody set. Yeah, Robert Kraft, if you want to sit out there, you're going to have to deal with it. Somebody's going to have to tell him what was said anyway. He don't really remember shit. It is what it is. Actually, he's held himself together pretty well, considering his age and his mobility. He's making fucking Joe Biden look like the Tales from the Crypt. I don't know. Maybe there's something about the massage parlors keep him youthful. It is what it is. The roast had its ups and downs. Like I said, I don't know who the guy from Kill Tony podcast is, but that motherfucker, I don't know if we should applaud what he was doing or if he should have got, you know, stone at him while he was up there on stage. He was kind of getting a little too fucking reckless with the jokes, right? Aimed at certain demographics, certain, you know, he was going ham on our black brothers and sisters. I didn't know if everybody up there on that stage was a fan of that. Kevin Hart, you know, he's going to fucking laugh and laugh it off, come up there. And I guess he kind of knew what was going on because he was like, man, you know, I didn't know what we should. He doubles down on some of the jokes that I thought may have went a little bit too far, but that's Kevin Hart. People have said what they said about him, right? Ronnie Harrison was up there on that stage. He didn't look like he was too much of a fan. Willie McGinnis' big ass was up on there, too. I don't know. Yeah, he got away with it, right? There was some shining moments from that roast, though. I mean, Jeff Ross always does what he does. Nikki Glaser, man, she did a great job. Hats off to her. Anytime she's up on that stage, you know, people are going to be going absolutely crazy on her, calling her every slut, every whatever word in the book, right? But she went up there and handled it, right? Manhandled all the other competitors on that roast stage and did her thing. Sean Jay, I believe, is the name of the comedian that was up there as well. She didn't look like she took too kindly to the Kill Tony podcast host little moment on the roast, but hey, it is what it is. Rob Gronkowski, no thank you. This guy's a complete idiot. Takes a shot with Belichick and Kraft. You know, Kraft, he shouldn't be taking shots for one. For two, you know where he went immediately after that. I feel bad for the driver. You know what I mean? He's like, again, Rob. It is what it is. Maybe Rob and Rob went together, right? Maybe it was a little R&R. All I know is when this guy spiked the shot glass and the fucking glass particles went flying around, there was a lot of money on that stage in the form of human beings. They looked at him like, okay, bro, this ain't the time for that. But who the fuck is going to tell Rob Gronkowski, right? What would Aaron Hernandez do? Anyway, who else? Tom Brady. He goes up and he gets his opportunity. He does what he does and... maybe one of the standout jokes of the evening. You know, he's giving shit to Drew Bledsoe. Drew Bledsoe did decent, but hey, my guy was up there on a few. Before I get to Tom, let's talk about Drew motherfucking Bledsoe. We'll call him Bled Nose. Bloody Nose. He looked like he was up there off the entire final scene of Scarface table. My guy was up there sucking his teeth, licking his face, touched the nose, you know, a million fucking times. If you ever watch LL Cool J give a speech, however many times he licks his lips, pause, this guy Drew Bledsoe was touching his nose like he was trying to call out a play. I don't know what was going on. He was sending a signal to somebody, you know what I mean? Meet me in the back lot. I don't know what the fuck was going on, man. It is what it is. Not doing that right now. That was Drew Bledsoe's people telling me to calm down. He's trying to get a broadcasting job. My fault, you know what I mean? Should have known better. Anyway, shout outs and kudos to the guy. I guess you got to get a little sauced up and a little extra, you know, PEDs to go up there and deal with Tom Brady once again, sunning you as he did. everybody was giving Drew Bledsoe shit. He took it like a champ. You know what I mean? He probably wasn't feeling much. I guess he was numb. It is what it is. Moment that may have stole the show. Kim Kardashian came up. She did her thing. You know what I mean? People are going to let her slide. She did look beautiful. I'm not the hugest fan of the transformations back and forth, this and that. But if you're a man, you know what I mean, you ain't going to be, you'd be a liar to say that, you know, she don't be attractive when she makes appearances. I'll leave it at that. Try to keep it peaceful. She looked great. She comes up with her champagne flute. Obviously looking like she may be a little bit nervous. Tom Brady pointed that out towards the end of his appearance as well. Said, hey, Kim Kardashian's here. She came up, you know, she looked a bit nervous. Had nothing to do with her having to do the comedy portion. It was... because she knows her kids are left at home with their dad. What the feezy? Hey. I just looked at that and I was like, oh, great. If y'all are a fan of Kanye and you want the new Vultures album to come out, it's been pushed back another 3 months. There's going to be a full fucking 30 diss songs for Tom Brady. It is what it is. I don't think he's going to be too worried about it. But Kanye... couldn't duck the smoke. It wasn't bad enough that nobody cared that he tried to enter the diss. You know, the back and forth between Kendrick and Drake. That came and went. Everybody just wanted the instrumental. You know what I mean? Shut your dumb ass up and make some beats, Kanye. But aside from that, you know what I mean? He takes an L at the roast that he didn't even attend. How does North feel about it? You know what I mean? She at the crib about to make a TikTok talking shit about Tom Brady. If I'm Kanye... I would take whatever, I guess that's his wife, right? I would take her, put a couple of rubber bands on her as an outfit, and go find Giselle somewhere and steal her from the whatever it was, right? Taekwondo fucking trainer? Yeah, I don't know. Red flag, man. If you're out on the fucking road, I guess 9-plus weeks of an NFL season, and your wife says she wants to take up Taekwondo, should be a red flag, bro. You know what I mean? Got hella fucking shows on YouTube. They got hella videos on YouTube. You could do some workouts at the crib. You do not need Billy Blanks coming in, stretching the girl out. But Tom let it happen, right? He didn't really give too much of a fuck. He went to go play with the Bucks over spending time with his family. So, hey, Won another ring, lost one. It is what it is. Guess if you're Eli Manning or Giselle, you're the kryptonite. Now let's get serious for a moment. I do want to spend some time and speak to what Nate Robinson is going through. Those of y'all, as we talk about Knicks basketball and the resurgence of what's going on there, another great point guard for that organization, Nate Robinson. He's dealing with a kidney failure, right? In urgent need of a kidney transplant. He says, I know I don't have long if I can't get a kidney. Facing a critical health battle. Revealing the severity of his search. Now, in this day and age, with what we got going on medically-wise, right, and we should be, I mean, who can't pocket watch, but I would think this guy has a little bit saved up in the tuck. It's a shame that we don't have advances in a way now where we're able to make some things like this, you know, not be as urgent of a need as it is, but it still is, so... That being said, I know there's a lot of stigma attached to being a donor, an organ donor. There's some people who believe that if you have that sticker on your identification and you get into a situation in the hospital, that they will lead towards not doing everything in their power to keep you around in order to provide organs from your body for possible people in need. As much as the medical field could tell you that that is a myth, who really knows? All I do know is it's very unfortunate that Nate Robinson is in this position, praying for him to find the donor and you know, whoever it is that could possibly be a match, and hoping that he's a recipient very soon. That being said, thoughts and prayers to Nate Robinson and his entire family, and hopefully we get a good ending to the story. Now let's talk boxing. Was not watching the fuck was I saying that I skipped? Oh, it was the Cat Williams live stand-up special. I definitely wasn't tuned into that live because I was watching Canelo fight Jaime Uniga. Hoping I didn't butcher that last name. Two takeaways from this. Number one being that if Jaime was in the ring with anybody else on that evening, he would have been poised to get a victory. I don't know a full background story on that guy, but what I do know is he was taking some great shots from a great fighter. I've been very critical of Canelo in the past. I also made a side note to myself that I got to stop hating on the guy. Maybe it's the fact that it's DAZN and I can't stand their service, their promotion, or even just the presentation of their events. But, on a weekend that was as big as that weekend was with these two great, amazing Mexican fighters, you know, going out and putting on a show like only great Mexican fighters can. It was huge for the sport, man. It was a great fight. Canelo, he is really him, man. You can't overlook it. The fact that this guy came in and, he took some shots as well. Jaime has a lot of power. And on top of that, he's just a fucking dog, right? He's a savage. He's not going to give up. He's not going to give in. He's going to continue to unload. Left himself open at times, just, going for what he definitely needed in the form of a knockout. With that being said, Canelo just remaining poised. The mental aspect of the fight was clearly in Canelo's favor, just whether it be experience or just the ability to execute. I'm not going to go as far as to say preparation. I just think it was two different styles. Created a great fight, a great matchup. Canelo gets the win. Jaime makes it through all 12 rounds. Amazing fight, great for the sport of boxing, and just setting the tone for the summer. I told you as it heats up, you're going to start seeing a lot of combat sports and a lot of great events. Next in line, Saturday, June 15th. I mean, that may not be the next. I know we've got some fights coming up soon. I think this one might just be a joke, but, the Jake Paul and Mike Tyson exhibition, I'm not sure if that's June or July. I will get, more info on that and come back with it. But two title fights from PBC pay-per-view, Saturday, June 15th. Benavidez is on the undercard against, I don't know how the fuck to pronounce bro's name, G-V-O-Z-D-Y-K. I'll just say like the eye test when you go to the DMV or the eye doctor, right? You got to cover one up. Can you read line five? Yeah. Because of Devik. I mean, that's his name. I don't know. I'll be rooting for Benavidez because I know that if he gets this win, he's going to be matched up against a fighter that I do know in the near future. Going further than that, the main event of this card is going to be Gervonta Tank Davis against Frank Martin. Frank Martin will be his competition in this fight. PBC, pay-per-view, Saturday, June 15th, presented by Amazon Prime Video, live on pay-per-view, MGM Grand in Las Vegas, sponsored by DraftKings. It is what it is, man. Big fights, big competition. UFC has crazy-ass cards on the line, you know, coming up soon as well. Capped off at the end of the month by the return of Conor McGregor. Got a lot of fucking combat sports in the near future. Stay tuned. Go check your listings. Find out when they're there. You can't always depend on me. I'm unprofessional as fuck, and I be slipping sometimes. It's all good, though. Now, while we wrap this up, I want to highlight a song came out today. Meet Me in Napa, new joint from Larry June. Hopefully, we have an album on the way. Not to be overlooked. Conway the Machine just put out a new album. Came out this Friday as well. Slant Face Killer. Featuring Larry June on one of them tracks by the name of Surf and Surf. This joint we about to play, Larry June, Meet Me in Napa.
Professional as fuck podcast.
I'm gonna see you too. Nah, maybe it's not. Nah. Switching lanes on my way to Napa. Baby, draw way down from set. You know my face card heavy, baby. I can't just hang out on the set. A couple nights at the Stanley Ranch, I'm smashing that. You ain't got a trip, I can handle that. Hitting it from the back, head down, so I'm grabbing that. Say you got a meeting in the morning, you gotta cancel that. Hotel suite for no reason, I got hella spots. Boyfriend blowing up your phone, I know he hella hot. I know this lifestyle go crazy, but no photo ops. Said baby girl, the Macy's, the grass, and polo socks. Would've been my main girl in another lifetime. I was playing games, girl. No, you couldn't be mine. No matter how high I get, I'm still looking up to you.
That's what she told me. That's what she told me.
No matter how high I'm still looking up to you. That's what she told me. Trying to get to know you and shit. I'm still looking up to you. I know shit happened a little fast. I was really on some cool shit. I was some good energy around me, you know what I mean?
I'm still looking up to you.
When I met you, it was like, yeah, meet me in that.
Something smooth, set the tone. Summer weather out there right now. Get you a nice little drive going. Put some of these songs on your playlist and do what it do. I got a busy weekend, man. Got a lot of work to do. Definitely got to go and make sure the mothers in our lives are feel appreciated. You know what I mean? Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. I'm not sure that y'all will be tuned into the sports show, but if y'all, you know what I mean, are listening, make sure that you make the mother or, you know, the mother of your children feel special during this time. To those of y'all who, mothers are watching from heaven. Thoughts and prayers are with y'all. Much love. If y'all need somewhere to be, somewhere to go, someone to talk to, definitely reach out. You know, my door is always open. My phone is always on.
I'm still looking up to you.
That being said, man, also if you're a mother whose babies are up in heaven, know that you still got some sons down here who love and care for y'all, and you're never alone. With that being said, enjoy y'all weekend. Till next time, find who makes you happy and return the favor. I'll holler at y'all later.
Y'all finished or y'all done? I ain't got no more talking.